turn in our Bibles. We'll read Matthew 16:18 together, where we ended up Sunday night. Hank, what is number are we on the kingdom? What tape? We're on. This is 12. This is 13 coming up. Okay. So if you haven't been with us, we've been working on the kingdom of God. All right, let's read together Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the next verse. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we were saying Sunday night that the relationship between the church and the kingdom is that the church holds the keys of the kingdom. In other words, the church is the center of government of the kingdom of God. It is part of the kingdom, and as the kingdom, it is the center of government of the kingdom, and God today is creating kings and priests. Now, notice that the keys says, whatever thou shalt bind shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Someone read, now this is the key of David. The key of David is singular, but I think it's made up of four keys, at least four keys, because the keys of the kingdom are plural. But I think the root of the idea is in David, because David is the king of God's kingdom. The angel said to Mary, you will give him the throne of David. So David really figures, Jesus calls himself the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So David really figures in this picture of the kingdom. It's the throne of David. It's not a new throne, it's the throne of David. I will give him the throne of David. So we would expect then that the keys of the kingdom would be the key of the throne of David. So someone read Isaiah 22, verse 22. Keys are really important if you want to get into something that's locked.
And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut.
All right, now this is the power to bind and loose, isn't it? To shut and no one can open is a binding power. And to open and no man shut is a loosing power. Now, where do we hear the shoulder mentioned someplace else? The government shall be on his shoulder. This key... Read that again. It's something about the key on his shoulder, wasn't it?
And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder.
All right, that's the government. The power of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And then someone read Matthew 18:18. All right, now someone read John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. We went over this Sunday night, but I want her probably to review it. John 20, verses 21 through 23.
He spoke to them again and said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending
you. Let me pause there. What is our definition of the kingdom of God? God in Christ in the saints, flowing forth. Now, read that verse 21 again.
He spoke to them again and said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.
See that? We're a continuation. We're a continuation. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. That's God in Christ in the saints, being sent. That's the kingdom. Okay, go ahead.
Then he breathed on them and told them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven.
Now there's a fearsome verse. There's a fearsome verse. And I dare say that none of us exercises that verse. Nor is it practical for us to do so. It's simply not in the wind. It's not something you charge out and do. If you've got it, you've got it. And if you don't, you don't. And I think at this stage in our career, we don't got it. I mean, that isn't something you just do. That is a kingdom. That's a kingdom. It's not a delegation either. Because Jesus doesn't delegate authority, he exercises it through us, and that's a vast difference.
Amen.
See? He doesn't delegate anything, because God says, I will not give my glory to another. There's a big difference between delegated authority and authority exercised through us. And so Christ does not want us to become anything apart from him. So, this is based on his breathing on them, as God breathed on Adam, the breath of life, and Adam lost it. Now God again is breathing on the children of the kingdom. And on the basis of that inbreathing, he is saying, if you forgive sins, they shall be forgiven. Now this is the key of David. This is the power to bind and to loose. And as I say, I believe it's four keys. All right, someone read Revelation 3. Verse
7. The angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says, he that is holy, he that is clean, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shut it, and shut it, and no man opened it.
So Jesus holds the key of David. Now, two of the four keys, as I see it, and there may be more that constitute the key of David, are found in Revelation 1:18. So someone would read that. There's two keys mentioned here, and I believe there are two other keys.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Notice it doesn't say the key singular. Does anyone's translation say the key singular? See, there's two keys there. There's a key to hell, and there's a key to death. And I believe there's two other keys. One of them is the key to life, and the fourth one is the key to paradise. I believe there are four keys. That constitute the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. The key to paradise. The key to life, eternal life. The key to hell and the key to death. I think, as far as I know, these are four keys to the kingdom. Maybe the four keys, who knows? Now, by paradise, I mean blessing, joy. All that you can think of when Jesus said to the thief, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I think the key phrase there is with me. It is the key to the presence and blessing of God. God dwells in paradise. Paul was caught up to the third heaven, to paradise, and heard unspeakable words. I think what he heard was God told him about how great his destiny was going to be. And he wasn't allowed to tell it. That's right, because Paul alone was given the message of the body of Christ, the understanding of grace. That is an awesome thing, that one man's doctrine would shape the course of both Western and Eastern civilization. That's probably what God told him. And he says, you don't talk about stuff like that. But you see, paradise, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I believe that God wants to give, this is the power to loose into the blessing and presence of God. And I believe that God is preparing us to exercise that prerogative to the peoples of the earth. The keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom. The second key has to do with strength. Life is strength in the kingdom. See, paradise is the environment. The environment. The presence and blessing of God. But life is having the environment within you, and particularly in the realm of power. God said to Jesus, I will make you a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, that is, after the power of an endless life. Now, Paul wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So, the key to life is the key to power. If you look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, it says this. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second Adam was made a life-giving, living spirit. But the Greek there says a life-giving spirit. And God wants to put in the church the power to bring life to people so that they can overcome and be released, just like Tricia. That's a perfect example of giving the key of life. See, there, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And God wants us to be able not only to tell people what's right, but to issue enough strength that they can live, that they can be blessed, their circumstances be blessed, not be all the time in pain and confusion, but order come into their environment, into their household, and that life come into them so that they can overcome. See, those are two slightly different things. Equally important in the kingdom is the power to curse. Now we see Paul using this in the case of the incestuous man in Corinth. He was using it for the man's good. And he had the key to deliver that man into the presence of Satan and into the environment of Satan. I turn him over to Satan. That's a key, see, for the destruction of his flesh. He opened up that man to access to a tormenting environment, you see. This is a tormenting environment. This is torment. And this is blessing and the presence of God. And this is torment and the presence of the destroyer. And this is power. And this is loss of power or loss of life. Inability to do anything. Now, Paul, using the keys of the kingdom, said, when you're gathered together with my spirit, deliver this man to Satan. That's a key to bind. That is a retaining of sins. You see? What you're saying is, remove this man from the blessing of God. Okay? Let his life be gone from him. Deliver him unto Satan. Let him experience torment. And while we're in our humanistic desires want to get everybody saved. What God is after in the church is a witness. Now, we have to get the difference in that, or God will never issue power to us. This God, he didn't say this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached so that everybody will get saved. He said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached for a witness. And what God wants is a witness. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and he shall be my witnesses. Now, a witness is supposed to tell what he has seen and heard. God did not call us to empty the hospitals. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't call us to heal everybody on the earth. Now, you may not like it, and if you don't, it's your own problem because you've been brainwashed with humanism. The kingdom does not exist to implement man's will. It exists to implement God's will. And the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There is goodwill toward men, providing we do God's will. But when we do not do God's will, there is not goodwill toward men. And when the church shows goodwill toward all, willy-nilly, it is not a true witness of God, but is a witness of human compassion and human... It isn't even compassion, it's a group rebellion against God is what it is. You know, never mind what God wants, it's what people want that matters. Oh, they're hungry, let, you know, hell be emptied. That isn't the big issue in life. Of course, we all feel for a brother or sister in torment. I'm sure if we delivered someone to Satan and then saw them in torment, our hearts would go out to them. And that's as it should be, because God is not interested that we be heartless people. Nonetheless, what God has called us to be is a witness. And there's all the difference in the world. You see, the work of the kingdom has been done whether or not people are saved. The job of the kingdom is to bear a witness. Oh boy, we've got to get that in our souls because we want power in these days. God doesn't want to issue power until it's flowing along the right channels. He's not interested in healing everybody. That's not his purpose. The purpose of divine healing is not to lift the curse from the earth. The purpose of it is to be a sign so that people know that what's being said is God. These signs shall follow them they believe. They're signs. We get all fastened if somebody feels better. Well, it'd be better off if they felt worse if it would turn them to God. The thing that matters is how we feel. The thing that matters is God's will being done in our life. And the best thing that can happen to any human being is if his circumstances conspire to drive him to Christ, whether they be good or ill, the greater good is that that person is the slave of Jesus Christ. And that's the best you can do for anybody. And the best thing you can do for any human being is to give them a true witness of God. Talk about love, that's love on wheels. But to tell them, like the unfaithful steward did, here, take your bill and write 50, and take your bill and write 20, and then we try to make that have something to do with missions, that has anything to do with missions. It's talking about an unfaithful steward. And what he's saying is, if you can't lick them, join them. At least get on somebody's side. Praise the Lord. Okay. You see, it has to be a witness because, let's see, Lord, I lost my train of thought and I got off on that thing. That'll come back to me as the Lord will. All right. A true witness. You remember he said, you go through the town and you raise the dead. And you heal the sick and cast out demons, and what do you say? The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And what does it say? If they receive you, let your peace be on that house. What does he say if they do not receive it? Shake the dust off your feet. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Do you see that? You see that? The healing of the sick and the raising of the dead is for a witness. And if they accept it, they'll be ushered into life. If they reject it, they'll be judged. That's the true kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. This gospel, this good news, shall be preached for a witness. Now, let's take the fourth key, the key of death. That was used by Peter in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, wasn't it? When that key was turned, they were not able to keep their flesh. They lost their flesh. They lost their life. That's the key of death. That key is, in terms of the witness, all four keys are of equal value. In terms of our getting something good, we prefer the first two. But in terms of the witness and the church being a witness and the government of God, all four keys are of equal value. To bind is as important as to loose. And to loose is as important as to bind. Now, you can see that these keys are beyond what we can exercise today. People aren't falling dead in the churches, people are not being delivered to Satan, and that's a good thing because all we are is irritated. We're not full of God's righteous judgment. We're just irritated when we're not getting our own way. And that's no time to start hurling thunderbolts. So this kind of is speaking, as God does many times, of God presents a conceptual picture and then the Spirit brings you up to it. And what the Lord is saying before he left, and Christ said that when he was resurrected, when he said, whosoever sins your man, that was the resurrected Jesus talking to them and breathing on them. It was after he had been raised from the dead and he was leaving the kingdom authority with the church to the apostles of the Lamb, whose names are in the foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem. He was saying, this is the kingdom. If you retain sin, it is retained. If you forgive sin, it is forgiven. Do you think before Jesus comes that we will ever see the Church of Jesus Christ to a level that it can possess and use the keys of the kingdom? Do you have any scripture? You're just full of faith. Well, let's see if we can get some in hand. We won't have to wait till next week. Let's turn to Revelation 11. Let's see if we can get some in hand. All right, now, Revelation 11 is an expression of God in witnessing that will take place before Jesus returns. There is no question that this will take place. Our point of view, you've heard many times, is that this is symbolic. The two olive trees, the two lampstands, refer to the double portion of God's Spirit. See, everything is predicated on the Spirit of God. He breathed on them and said, receive you the Spirit. So you have to have your two lampstands if you're going to remit sin and hold sin. All right, now notice that these are the two, what? Witnesses that God sends to witness of what? Of the coming of the kingdom. God's witnesses cry, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that is always combined with Jesus, because you see in both the case of Philip and of Paul, it says, when he received the things which Philip spoke concerning the kingdom in the name of Jesus. And they go together. The kingdom and Jesus go together. So the witness is of Jesus, the coming of Christ, and the coming of the kingdom. And the apostles and evangelists preach this together. And if you want to study Acts, you'll see that they mention the two together, the kingdom and the name of Jesus. There's nothing else to bear witness of. This is all that's important, is that the rule of God is coming, and that if you want to be saved, you must repent and receive the blood of the Lamb, because the blood is the door to the kingdom. The blood is the door to the kingdom. And God meets man only at the door. The blood that's referring here to here. God says, I'll meet you at the door of the tabernacle. This is considered the doorway. I'll meet you at the door. The bronze altar is a Calvary. Calvary is the door to the kingdom. You cannot enter into the kingdom other than through the blood of the Lord Jesus. God will not receive you, will not accept you. God says he must see the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, and without remission, there's certainly no entrance into the kingdom. So, we preach, have faith in the blood of Jesus for your sins, and repent because the rule of God is coming to the earth. All right, now let's see if they have the keys. Now it says in verse 3, and I will give, and if you'll notice in your Bible, the word power is in italics, because the Greek says, and I will give unto my two witnesses. Now what God gave them is the keys. He gave them the keys of the kingdom, because you can see them manifested. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. What key is that? That's death and hell, isn't it? That's the keys of death and hell. See, providing torment and death. They have this key and they use it. And this is before Jesus comes. So you can see that the testimony, what kind of a testimony does the Christian church give to the United States today? What kind of testimony would you say overall does a Christian church give to the United States of America? That God is weak, he needs money, he's pleading for millions of dollars, that he is kind of good-natured, that he can be pushed around. The what? He's a beggar. There's a lot of ministry, in our country, but very little testimony. Now, when the two witnesses of Revelation 11, imagine if this kind of a witness was going on today in America. Now, just picture, if the saints of God in America, of which there may be 100,000, if there are that, there's probably 20 million church members and probably 100,000 saints. I don't know. But imagine if 100,000 people were going around breathing fire. I don't think this fire is coming out like a dragon. I think what this is saying is symbolic, is that they have the power to curse. Like Paul said, let him be anathema. He said of Alexander, the Lord reward him according to his works. That's anathema. That's the curse. Now, what do you think would happen in the United States of America if 100,000 Christians had the power to use that third key of the kingdom? Would it help or hinder the witness? Why? Sure. Don't you think that people would think twice? What do you think? The media is so blasé and so utterly abominable in its despising of anything that is godly. What do you think would happen if someone came up and they're so sure of themselves and so smug and a saint said, you know, like Paul said to Elymas, the hand of the Lord be on you for a season. And they went around blind. You would begin to see the fear of God. And people would begin to watch the mouth, and you would see intense persecution. You'd see all kinds of reactions. Because that is the witness, and without it, you do not have a true witness of God. You can minister till the cows come home, but these four keys are essential to the witness. They must know, there's two things about God that we have to know. One is that he's a consuming fire, and the other is that he's a father and has a great heart of forgiveness for those who repent. We have to know both the goodness and the severity of God. And if we have nothing but severity, we do not have a true witness. If we have nothing but goodness, we do not have a true witness. We have to have both the goodness and the severity of God. And the severity of God is lacking in our country because we don't have that key. We can't use it. We can talk about it, but it just isn't present. All right, but it will be restored according to the Bible. Now, let's go to the fourth key in verse 6. This is the key of life. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not. And this may be talking about natural rain, but I think that God is more concerned about spiritual rain. In other words, no longer will there be revival except at the discretion of the saints. And you notice here it says they have power over waters to turn them to blood. Now there are two kinds of life. There is spiritual life, and there is human fleshly life. And where does fleshly life reside? In the blood. And what he's saying is that these witnesses will have the power to take that which is given forth as life. Now, there's a new book out now by a very prominent minister, and he's taken a step beyond what you say you get to. Now you are supposed to envision whatever you want to be, and you will become that. I won't mention his name. I've no case against the man as an individual. But this person is widely read in our country. He may be the most widely read Christian author. And he had a previous book along the same line, along this line of that what you think and what you say is what you become. And the new one is that what you image. See, if you want to be a successful businessman or whatever it is, you image that in your mind. Now, as far as I'm concerned, see, but no one knows the difference. No one knows the difference. And if you want to take it a step further, look at the abominations that are being presented in the public schools in the name of education. But the parents don't know the difference. They don't know whether it's good or bad. And I think that what God is saying here is that these witnesses will have the power to turn the key such that all these things that appear to be life will be manifest that they are corrupt. It's kind of the same idea, those that say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. See, they didn't know what they were. I will make them to come and worship and to know that, so that they will know that I love you. See, what we are lacking today is a plumb line. We don't have a true witness. We don't know what is up and what is down because the church is powerless. And what God is saying here, it doesn't say what these witnesses do that is good. It doesn't say that they cast out devils or heal the sick. I'm rather inclined, if God gives power, that they probably will. But what God is accenting here is that this particular testimony of his kingdom will restore the third and the fourth keys. The key of torment in your environment and the key of the loss of life, the shutting off of rain, which in the Bible represents the Spirit of God, the latter rain. So that no more will any church be able to preach anything that it wants and there appear to be a blessing and God's people do not know whether it is right or wrong. And if there is anything that the church needs today, it is the power to do something about what is wrong. Now, people will insist on sending me literature, and in here they have their Ain't It Awful pages, and I'm just going to, when I get this stuff, I'm going to throw it in the basket before I read it, because all it does is cause me to leave the 37th Psalm for about a half an hour, and I begin to fret. And you know, each one is worse. It seems that the things that are being done today, particularly in the public schools, are so bad that I can't for the life of me figure out why they don't throw these bums in jail. But instead, in one state, they padlock the door of the church for running a Christian school. In two other states, they're trying to get creation introduced in the public schools as an alternate, so that both evolution and creation can be taught, and this by some of the top scholars in the country. And in both of those states, the American Civil Liberties Union is fighting it hammer and nails. They do not want any mention, or that scientific proof has nothing to do with it. It is to the evolution and evolution alone, and no alternative presented. So here they are allowing literature that a few years ago wouldn't be allowed through the mail. Now it is compulsory because you have to send your child to some school or another. So they're locking the Christian schools on a certain legal rigmarole, which in turn forces the child to go to be taught pornography, which is incredibly rotten, and then in the intellectual domain, forbidding an examination of alternatives. And I think that we are just at the outskirts of this sort of thing. I believe it's going to get much worse, much worse, to where Christian people will not even be able to discuss it. All right, so what stance do Christian people take? They go to the polls, some do, or they're urged, or join a coalition, or a boycott, or one thing or another. What God has given us to overcome these things is not public pressure or voting, it's the keys of the kingdom. And we need to pray to God to restore them so that we can stop these things by the power of God. There is power in the gospel to deliver under Satan. There is power to stop life. I have the keys of hell and of death. Now I ask you, what need does Jesus Christ have for the keys of hell and of death? What need does Christ have for those keys? He's not going into hell, and he certainly doesn't need to ask anybody's permission. Or of death. Christ doesn't need any keys to go into death. He was alive. He said, I'm alive. But I have the keys of hell and death. Now what is this but not part of the keys of the kingdom that are exercised in Revelation 11? If we had this power now, and I think the reason God is giving us these things is to prepare us for the proper exercise of these keys. Because our American society is dying because we cannot exercise power. The only thing we can do is get together and try to get some kind of a majority of people and use boycott and economic pressure. These are not the tools of the kingdom of God. The tools of the kingdom of God are spiritual. What we're dealing with in this espousal of evolution and this incredible pornography that is being published and introduced to children in the kindergarten, the first and second and third grade, things I wouldn't, it would stain this assembling to even discuss them, and I'm not going to. That is not just bad men getting worse. That is Satan. And you don't fight Satan with votes or money or boycotts. He's wiser than that. He has seven heads. That means he has perfect wisdom. The dragon has seven heads. All he'll do, people can gang up against him all he wants. That's just what he loves, is to get the whole Christian church occupied with fighting him. And he'll take them right down a primrose path and whip them every time. That's all that he'd love, as we get ourselves all incensed in the flesh and run off and join hand to hand and forget all about God. Wouldn't he love that? And get ourselves all talking about pornography all the time till we're reeling in his domain. It's just more publicity for the devil. And money won't do it. You can't fight the devil with money. You can't fight Satan with money. If we had $10 billion a minute coming into this church, we couldn't make one dent on hell. You've got to have the key. You've got to have the key. Christ has got to restore to us the key to destruction as well. And we need these other keys too. Now notice in Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Someone read that. All right, now here Jesus has opened a door using a key. Now, what door is this? What door is this? The door of what? Yes, I think so. I think that this is the second key, because I believe that exactly as Doug says, the Lord's way is if you have a little something, He adds to it. Remember, He says, to him that hath shall be given, and to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. The Lord has more good to say about Philadelphia than any of the other churches of Asia. And when He's complimenting them, and He's saying, you have showed a little strength. So what I see the Lord doing here, and I believe we are in the church of Philadelphia, is that He's saying, I'm going to use the keys of the kingdom, and I'm going to open up the door of power to you. Now, all that stands between us and a powerful witness in Russia and Albania and Czechoslovakia and Poland and Lithuania, which I guess is in a terrible state, and Estonians. Lithuania, I read in the National Geographic, I guess there's... they've got enough to eat, and it's the most bland society. It's a perfect bland society with evidently no Christian work from what I read. I'm sure there must be an underground or something. But that's the end result, is a socialist state that has enough food for everybody. But when you get that, and welfare and everything, and everybody's living, everybody's happy, that's perfect, isn't it? You're just lacking one thing, and that is spiritual life. You've got the material aspect of the kingdom, but you're dead. And the only thing that is between you and I and doing something about that is power. That's the only thing. It isn't money. It's power. If we had the power tonight to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils, if the Lord were to open that door to us, we could go and bear witness. That isn't to say everybody would get saved, but we could present a proper Christian witness. And until the Lord gives us that second key, there's little we can do except just pray and wait and believe God and do the little strength that we have. Because what we need today, if we are going to do much in America, we are going to have... America's had healing revivals. Man, we've had the greatest healers, with the exception of Smith Wigglesworth and Sister Woodworth Eder. Was she from England or America? Woodworth Eder. Well, that exception, Amy Semple McPherson and Catherine Kuhlman and William Branham and Oral Roberts and all the rest of them have all been Americans. You ever hear of a healer coming out of Italy or anything? Probably there may be some, but the ones with the big ministries, Freeman, T.L. Osborne, have all been Americans. We have had, God has given people in this country blessing, so that we're not cursed with famine, we're not cursed with, we have the presence of God. The Marleys said that when they got into India, they were out of the presence of God. They could feel the demon power. We don't have that here like they do in some of those other countries. We are blessed. We're not in paradise, but compared to some countries, we're in paradise. As far as the presence of God is concerned, and as far as our environment is concerned, God has blessed our country because of righteousness in earlier generations. People use the key. We have had power and miracles. The greatest miracle workers have come, with the exception of Smith Wigglesworth, who came from England, we have had the power in the United States to work miracles. In Branham's ministry, there were incredible miracles. And in Catherine Kuhlman's ministry, absolute pacemakers disappearing, and the scar when it went in even disappearing, and just, you know, hips, steel leaving hips so that there was no more steel in there, and things that are just, they're not just healing, they're out and out absolute miracles, documented by x-rays, you know, objective evidence that the material realm has been... By the way, Bill, you know, I got to thinking, that is a violation of the first law of thermodynamics. It is not true that no energy is being added. Both energy and information are being added by God when He works a miracle. So that's only true in a static view of the universe. But when we get into the kingdom of God where there's divine intervention, the law of thermodynamics does not apply, because in that, in these things, I don't think God is taking power that isn't assembling it. He's just introducing creative power. That's something to think about. Praise the Lord. So it isn't true the only energy we have is that what's always been. God is introducing energy and guidance in this key of the kingdom, in the second key, and we've had that in our country. Boy, I can remember in Branham's ministry, you walk into the tent where William Branham was, you would get such a hunger for heaven, all you want to do is leave there and fast for 2 weeks. Nobody had to tell you to fast. I mean, you didn't want to live in this world anymore. It was just heaven on earth. You could feel the presence of the angel. Stronger, maybe I was an older Christian, Catherine Kuhlman, and I didn't feel it so strongly. But I could remember it was just like heaven on earth to enter into that tent. God gave life. God gave life. God gave life in the Welsh revival too, not so much in healing, but in real, he turned that key of life. But the other two keys, we've had that in America, but now, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be giving the witness. I think we're ready in America. If God is going to save this country, he's going to have to give us the other two keys. Well, that may seem harsh, but I'm here to tell you the things that are being done in the public schools to children every day beggar description as for outright pornography and filth and perversion and destruction of everything that is right. And this is being done to not 100 but millions of American children every school day. The literature could not go through the mail. In fact, in one suit, there's a group of Christians trying to bring this matter to court, and do you know the attorney for the defense got a ruling that that literature not be allowed in court as evidence? It's prurient material. You couldn't, for example, put it in the Escondido paper, the San Diego paper. You couldn't put what is in the textbooks for primary children. It's illegal to put in the newspaper. It's illegal. You could not do it. And yet we say, oh, ain't it awful? And let's build Christian schools. Well, that's good. That's a kind of a withdrawal from society. It's all we can do right now. But I believe that God wants to give us. See, we're getting close to the kingdom now. We're not talking now about the redemption aspect. We're talking about the rule of God in the earth, that second half of the gospel of the kingdom. Were you here, brother, when we talked about the two aspects of the gospel? One is the forgiveness, and the other is the rule of God. And we've had, all we know really to cope with is the forgiveness. God loves you and He'll forgive you. But to bring the rule of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, we don't have that power. And God's Bible does not teach us the solution is to go to heaven. The solution is the keys of the kingdom to begin to bear witness of God and His ways. And what we need to do is to quit our fooling around and begin to realize that God, that the love of God does not mean that He does nice things to everybody regardless of what they do. That the Bible teaches anything but that. And we need to pray that God, if we're going to save a generation of American school children from being turned into something that the mind can't grasp, they introduced sex education in Humboldt County, and the teenage pregnancies went up, 1,000%? And so did the rate of abortions from what it had been with the advent of sex education. That's how effective it is. Boy, is it effective. For the kingdom of hell. And all we can do is say, ain't it awful? And God loves you and He'll forgive you. That's part of it. But there's something else here in Revelation 11 that's going to come to pass before Jesus comes. And that is the power to turn waters to blood. And that's what needs to be done. All these waters in the Bible symbolize life. All these forms of life to become manifest that they are putrid and stinking so that people will turn away from them and say, this is wrong. That's part of the witness. And so that those who persevere and mock the church as is being done in the media, that it will become manifest to people that their life is being taken from them. Praise the Lord. Well, that may sound harsh, but it doesn't. Listen, we better get used to it. According to the Bible, the overcomers will rule how? Yeah. What is it, Psalm 110? That talks about Melchizedek. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. What patience Jesus has. Psalms 110. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. I think God wants us to rule. To rule. That's rulership. Do this. Don't do that. And where do we rule? In the midst of our enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. That's a beautiful passage. If you have another translation, the splendors of holiness, something about the Lord's youths are as dew about him. It's a little different from the King James. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Now get this picture of God. This is a true kingdom picture. He shall judge among the heathen or among the nations. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way, that is, of the waters of life. Therefore shall he lift up the head. That's a marvelous psalm. That's a psalm of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, whatsoever shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we love you tonight, Lord. We love you because you're a wonderful Savior. And Lord, we also respect you because you are the mightiest King of the universe. And Lord, my heart is burdened and grieved tonight, Lord, when I think of the things that are being done to children in the United States of America. Lord, in some ways it's worse than the children of East Africa that are starving for food, because our children are being deliberately invested and impregnated with filth, with demonic thinking, with demonic concepts, with demonic emotions. They are being linked with Satan from their earliest years. And oh God, has there ever been a time in the history of the world that a nation so blessed has used its resources to publish literature with the intent of perverting the minds of 5- and 6-year-old children, as is going on today throughout the public schools of the United States of America? Has there ever been a time in history, oh God, thou who hast said it would be better that a millstone were hanged about someone's neck than that he offend a little one who could enter into the kingdom so gladly and happily? And Lord, tonight we look out and we see not thousands but millions, millions, millions of American boys and girls deliberately being filled with moral perversion, so that by the time they're 16 they are already burnt out emotionally and fit only for drugs, for suicide, having reached and attained the zenith of emotional experience and therefore unable to respond in any mentally sound way. Lord, a nation destroying its children, and no hand can be raised to stop it because the law is on their side. And Father, we hesitate to think ill or to speak ill or to desire ill of any human being. But Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight, I come to you, Lord. And I ask you to restore this key 3 and 4, Lord, the power to curse the environment and the power to withdraw life, the keys of hell and of death. And Lord, I ask you to restore those to the church in America. Jesus, I ask you tonight, Lord, with all the sincerity of my heart, that you do something about the situation in the public schools of America. Lord, I ask you to bring a horrible thing to pass, Lord, that will stop this debauchery of human children. I deliver it unto Satan in the name of Jesus, that the curse of God will be on it.
until its environment is utterly cursed and the life is drawn out from it. Turn it to blood and let it be corrupt and stink in the name of Jesus, and let it be an abomination that all human beings can see that it is utterly desolate and void of the life of God.